Okay, Teresa, my name is Tessie Thaigutathil. It's a complicated last name, but that is it. I'm married too, so, and I'm 69 years old, and I'm a retired educational advisor. We live in Garden City, Kansas. We lived here for almost 38 years, and today is September 23rd. I forgot, Lynn, to say, go by this. And
Yes.
my conversation partner is Teresa Walker, right?
Correct. And oh, hold on, just one second. What's the relationship to your conversation partner? Did you just meet her?
I just met her and I feel like she's my friend.
That is so sweet. That's probably one of the brightest sparks of my day-to-day. My name is Teresa Walker. I'm 62 years of age. Today is September 23rd, 2021. I'm located in Charlotte, North Carolina. I haven't been here very long. I'm a native Texan, so I've only been in Charlotte for about a year. My conversation partner today is Tessie, and I won't struggle with mispronouncing your last name. Please forgive
Yes.
me. And my relationship with this fabulous lady is that we've just met. But as you said, you're just a friend I hadn't met yet. So I'm looking forward to what we'll learn about each other.
Okay, thank you. Teresa, what made you want to do this interview today?
That's a great question. To be perfectly honest, I knew very little about this whole project, but I have a very dear friend who works closely with public radio and public broadcast, and she said, "Teresa, I did this. It was a great experience, and you should do it as well." And I was a bit hesitant at first, I think, because I was like, "But," after I spoke with our facilitator, Lynn, I was very excited, and after getting here today, I'm even more excited. So, Tessie, what made you want to do the interview today?
Well, Lynn, a good friend of mine, I adored her all the time. And she asked me, at first I said, no, my thoughts are different and I don't want anybody to, if, I don't want to be argumentative. And so I kind of didn't want to at first because I know most of the people in Garden City because we lived here a long time. And then she said it won't be somebody you know. That was good, yes. So, and then I thought, okay, I can share my thoughts and I can listen to other people's thoughts. It will educate me, their point of view. So I said yes.
That's pretty awesome.
So, I don't see another question here.
Okay, and you're going to be reading Teresa's bio out loud as written. And then
Oh,
you're going
okay.
to ask, what in the bio would you like? You're going to ask something that you would like to know more about her biography. And when I say as it's
Oh,
written,
yes.
you're going to read it
So,
out loud
Teresa,
as Teresa has
you
written.
work right now?
I do
Well,
work. Actually, let me do this. Let me just back up a little
Sure,
bit,
sure.
Tessie. Let me have you read it like this. I'm a native Texan and grew up in a working class poor family. I'm a
Oh, I
homeschool
you want me to read this.
right.
Okay.
Read it out
Okay.
loud. Yeah.
Teresa's bio.
Yeah.
She said, native Texan and grew up in a working class poor family. I was raised in faith and it has been a resounding principle and aspect of my life. I loved my very integrated high school and graduated top 10. Made changes in high school government after being affected by racism. Oh, wow. I appreciate the diversity and hope to see more of it in our country. Family is also very important to me. I have lots of diversity in my family and love learning about other cultures. Traveled extensively around the country. Awesome. Let me get my glasses, please. It's right here on the table.
Don't mind ahead. Absolutely. Teresa, can you see Tessie big in your screen?
Yes.
Okay, good.
But and I don't see her bio.
Okay, and I'm just about ready. There we go. So there's her bio. I say, Teresa, please read. And then, so it starts right there. I was born in India.
Oh, wait, so she has her glasses.
Yeah, absolutely.
I can't do anything without mine, Tessie, so I can be prepared.
Absolutely.
I can read most everything. I kind of reduced the size the other day.
Oh, I gotcha. It's
better to have it.
So I'll now read yours.
And okay.
That Tessie says, I was born in India as the oldest of eight in a fairly wealthy Catholic family. My mother wanted to be a nun. We were taught to always help your neighbor or anyone who needs help. If you have more than one of anything, you share with the poor. I remember speaking up and taking action when I saw injustice in school as a child. What I don't understand is, today people say they are strong believers in Jesus, but act just the opposite of how Jesus would. Wow, that's amazing. That's amazing. I'm excited to know you even more now, because we're not just friends, we're sisters in Christ. So that's
yes. Okay. Yes.
Do you want to know more about, do you want to pursue that?
Well, I you know, I feel like I know you, even in just reading your bio, but that's not really fair, because a lot of times when we think we know a person that we've just met, that's based on making some assumptions of our experience, and that's not necessarily the case. When you say that your why did your mom want to be a nun, or how did she share that information with you?
She and her best friend, they from childhood, that's what they both wanted. And after they finished high school, both of them, the parents arranged marriage. And her friend became, and she was at the altar for wedding, and there was an argument between the two fathers, hers and her fiance's, and they split up right there, and the father said, okay, you can become a nun if you want to, and she became a nun. Sister Estella was my fifth grade teacher.
Oh my gosh, how awesome is that?
Yes, but my mom got married, and the eight of us.
Well, that's wonderful, because you would not be here if she didn't. So that's fabulous.
That's right.
I also, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Go ahead. Let's finish and then I'll talk.
Well, I just like the fact that in reading your bio, when you talked about speaking up as a child, when you saw injustice at school, I honor that, in that I didn't feel that I had a voice.
It was a small thing. I was in fifth grade. There was a student. She was so poor, and the teacher always picked on her. And she was biased to the wealthy people. The richer ones she would cater to, and this, she always picked on her. And we get beatings if we were not listening to the teacher in those days. And so I had to write a letter. I didn't have the guts to go speak to her, but I wrote a letter to the principal stating this is what she's doing. And when the letter came, it was a big deal. I was so scared, but that made a little change.
Was that in the United States, or was that?
No, this is in India.
Where in India?
Southern tip.
Okay, I asked because I had the privilege of traveling for my work. So I was a leadership instructor in corporate America, and I had the privilege of going to Mumbai and Hyderabad.
Oh,
loved it. So
That is amazing.
Yeah. I was, that's why I was excited even the more once I saw you. I was like, oh my gosh. They were so very, very, very kind to me. And it was a moment that I was there that I thought of my mother. My mother passed away when I was 20. I was a really young 27.
Yeah.
And you have to stop me too, Tessie, because I talk a lot.
No, I want to know about you.
I want to know about you too, though. But because my mom was a domestic worker, she was a maid for wealthy families.
Yeah.
And she worked so very hard to provide me with opportunity that she didn't have.
How many children did she have?
Three of us.
Three.
But get this, my sisters were teenagers when I was born. So I really kind of grew up by myself.
Okay.
But my mom, it was still very hard for her. My mom and dad divorced when I was 2 years old. My father was an abusive alcoholic in his younger days. I was praising God that he got over that as he got older. And the father I learned as a man was a much nicer person. But to my mom, in my infancy, not so much. So
okay.
They divorced when I was two. And that's the thing, you know, my mom was so very much to me that when I got the privilege to travel with my job, I found myself wanting to honor her wherever I was.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you this, I'll let this be the end of it. I took all these fabulous pictures. I stayed at the JW Marriott in Mumbai, and it was beautiful. I had no idea. They told me later that this is where all of these movie stars and whatnot were there. And these the most beautiful people were there. And I was so excited. It was wonderful. So I took all these pictures. And when I got back to my little hometown of Amarillo, Texas, it was my cousin's birthday. They were having a party for him. And one of my childhood friends was there. The guy, this will make you laugh. He kissed me in the closet in first grade. And he got in trouble. Because why did I get in trouble? So anyway, we ran into each other there, and he loved my mom because he knew I loved my mom. And I showed him all these pictures that I brought back from India, and he was looking through them. He was like, I didn't even say anything. He said, this is why your mother worked as hard as she did.
Yeah.
And it was so rewarding because I knew this. I knew that my mother worked hard so that I would have opportunities that she didn't have. And I tried to take advantage of as many of them as I could. And it allowed me to meet some of the most phenomenal people. So, and that includes you.
But was she alive to see you succeed?
No.
Oh.
This didn't happen until I was in my 30s or 40s.
Oh.
And she passed when I was 27. So she missed a lot. But she was, you know, she was almost 50 when I was born, so I lost a lot. You know, my elder is very young because of the difference in how old she was when I was born.
Yes, so, but at least when your friend acknowledged that, that made you feel better.
It was awesome. It made me know that there was someone else who understood my mother like I did.
Yeah.
And my sisters married and moved away pretty quickly. I was still a little girl. I was still in elementary school when they moved away and started their families. And so it was just really me and my mother for the majority of my life. How about you with your siblings? I have two sisters.
I have the eight of us. One brother passed away. So then his wife was remarried. My parents actually arranged another marriage for her. And they had a little boy who was, he was only 10 months old. Because my brother pushed his Jeep. It stopped working and he pushed it all the way. We had a long driveway and I think it broke his heart or something because he's so strong. Otherwise he wouldn't die. And I adopted his son. That's my second son now.
Yes. How sweet is that?
Yes. And
what's
my
his
oldest
name?
Joseph.
Joseph, how appropriate. Oh my gosh.
And my oldest one is Matthew. We adopted him from Mother Teresa's orphanage. Yes. They are big boys now.
You are certainly demonstrating the appropriate Catholic family. You're giving them all biblical names.
Oh, it's more the other way. It's my, I didn't have to go through the delivery, and I got these two amazing children.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful.
Do you have children, Teresa?
I don't. I struggled with that for a long time too, because my mom seeing my mom work as hard as she did as a single mother, it made me feel some kind of way, you know what I mean? And I didn't really know, like, at least they had arranged marriages. This is probably one of those times when I might have wished I was associated with an arranged marriage. I don't know. But I just knew I didn't want to be divorced.
Yeah.
And there's only one way that you can't be divorced, isn't that? There's only one way that you can't.
You never got married?
And I never wanted to have children without being married.
Yes.
Because I think that children need parents, not just one.
Yeah.
And I struggled with that, because then I was like, oh my God, I don't have a legacy. But
that's okay. But you can still find to get married.
I'll tell you what, I hope to find someone that I will marry. I do. I want companionship. But what I had to learn, because it broke my heart, what I had to learn is that from where I sit in my faith, God created every soul for a purpose, on purpose. And whether I marry or not does not negate my purpose. Mm-hmm. If he chooses that I have a husband, then he will find me as Boaz, right?
Okay.
But if he chooses that I don't, there's work that I'm to focus on and get done, right?
Okay.
And so every person that I engage or I encounter in some way is a legacy, because the moment you connect, you leave a legacy with that person as a gift.
Yeah.
The question then becomes, what is that legacy? And so I work very hard to leave a positive one. So I don't have children blood legacy, but I have connections, heart to heart, heart legacy.
Yes.
I'm pretty happy about that. What about the rest of your siblings? You have a fabulous big family.
We are so close to each other every single day. In the morning, for me, it's morning, it's night for them. And I talk to a couple of them and my mom every day.
You have your mom?
Yes.
Beautiful.
And I want to go next year, April, she's turning 90. So, and my father was also pretty healthy, but he's just like me. He's so fast in doing everything. He gets up and he walks straight and immediately, and the doctor told him, take a few minutes and then walk. But he fell and hit his head, back of his head, and that's how he passed 12 years ago.
Wow. Sorry to hear that, but what a blessing that you still have your mom.
Yes, yes.
Because of losing my mom early, I'm always so excited when I meet people in my age group and you still have your mom. I'm almost jealous, but I know it's a blessing, so I won't be jealous. Unlike you, I lost my eldest sister too. I lost my sister, and 3 months of the day that she was buried, I lost my mom. So it's just, it was just
both had
it was a lot. 1987 was a rough year, but right here in the house with me right now is my other sister, who is 13 years my senior, and I love it. That's what brought me to North Carolina from Texas, to be closer to her.
Oh, I see.
So I see that we want to talk about who has been most influential person in your life and what did they teach you? So I'll ask you that question.
My dad's father, my grandfather.
Wow, cool.
Yeah.
What did he teach you?
Yoga. He started us on yoga, but he never called it yoga. But he would stand on one leg and hold the other leg up, and he taught us so much life lessons.
That's awesome.
I could remember. And we have this dowry system where your parents pay money to the husband, arranged marriage. And my father was going to give me 40,000. This is what, almost 50 years ago. That's a huge amount at the time.
It is. It's a huge amount now.
Yeah. And then my grandfather said, make it 50. I'm going to put the 10. Such a wonderful, wonderful grandfather. We grew up, we were so blessed. Usually the grandparents stay with the youngest son, but my mom was good to them, so they stayed with us. We were so blessed. Yeah.
That's wonderful. Did you call him grandfather?
Yes, in my language.
May I hear it?
Oh, Achen. Achen means father. Actually, it means father, but that is what my parents called him, and so we called the same thing.
Achen.
He passed just a few months before my wedding. But he saw my husband, and he liked him, and he was so happy. And he said he's going to start praying for him from day one. But they saw each other, but he was not alive for my wedding.
But he was there.
That was the most influential person for me. And what about you?
It would have to be my mom, as I was saying before. It would have to be my mom. She introduced me to Christ. She introduced me to Christ.
Yes.
Not in words, but in watching her. There were many struggles.
Actions speak louder than words.
Absolutely. What we say, or what I've heard said, Tessie, is, I'd rather see a sermon than hear one any day. There's a poem.
Oh, yes. Or you live. Your life is a sermon. Yes. Mm-hmm.
My sister says she's living her obituary. Nobody should say anything when she dies, as she's already told it all while she was here. So my mom, like I mentioned before, she introduced me to Christ. She taught me to pray.
Mm-hmm.
She taught me to love. She taught me the importance of family.
Mm-hmm.
And I've tried, even in her absence, I've tried to live up to that for her.
Mm.
But what I've learned is that initially I only believed in Christ because she said so.
Mm.
But as I lived, I started to understand who he was because of my own experiences, my own life. And so she would certainly be the person who put me on that road.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell my friends, I think she was scared. I think she was nervous that I was going to get into trouble. I started to learn about my sisters. My sisters got into trouble. They were not me. They were not bad trouble, silly stuff. But I didn't do anything. I was scared to death of everything.
And wanted to please your mom too, probably.
I did. I saw her work so terribly hard that I thought it would be terribly disrespectful to do anything that would cause her stress or pain.
Yeah.
She never wanted to do that. But she had me in church every day but Thursday, Tessie. Church was my social life. Like Monday, I had girls auxiliary. Tuesday night, I had usher board. We had ushers in our church to show you where to sit. I'm Baptist. And Wednesday night was Bible study and her mission meeting. So I had to be there for that. Thursday, I didn't go to church. But Friday, she had choir rehearsal, because I sing as well. She had choir rehearsal Friday. I had to go with her. And then Saturday was they call it the Starlight Band. It was the little kids choir. Uh-huh. And I had to go to rehearsal for Starlight Band. And then Sunday, I was in Sunday school. And then we had church. And if there was a 3 o'clock service, I had to be at that service. And then in the evening, they had Baptist Training Union.
You were immersed in church.
I love that. I'm going to use that. I'm going to tell my friends I was immersed in church. But what I am proud of is that it set the stage for the rest of my life, and I'm grateful.
Yes. Yes.
Tell me more about, you told me about a couple of your family members. I'm still interested in those 8. You had a large family.
Yes, I'm the oldest.
Oh, you were the big sister.
I'm the oldest, yes. By the time I was 15 years old, I could run a household. Because because the responsibility. My mother was a timid kind of person. That's her personality. My dad was so well known, and he wanted to make a million before he even got married. Wow. So that was his, and my mother was very poor before she married.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Was there, you know, sometimes the parents don't like that.
No, but this is different. My grandfather actually went on his way to work. He saw these two girls, very well behaved, walking to school back and forth. So he wanted to know if they are Catholics. So she, one day he followed her, and then he saw her walk into a house. And when he looked, knocked on the door and looked, there was a picture of Jesus. That's all he needed to know. And they didn't have to pay a penny dowry. My grandfather actually made the gold jewelry for her and got her married to his son.
How beautiful is that?
It is. He was beyond his time thinker.
I agree. So guess what else I heard? You are more like my mom. Not an age. In the spirit. Because she had to run her household.
Oh, yeah. Was she the oldest?
She was the oldest daughter. She had one brother that was older than her. And my mom's family were this far from slavery.
Oh.
My mom was born in 1916. 1916, right?
Oh, 16.
Yes, I was born in 16. But she picked cotton, they raised hogs, they were sharecroppers. And my grandmother became ill at some point, and my mother had to step up and run the kids. And what I noticed too is they respected my mother like she was their mother. Because when she passed away, my family went into a tizzy, kind of. Not in a great way. But I had to pray through that too, because I love them all. But I definitely saw the absence of my mother's leadership.
Yeah.
The way it was different, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I say that when you talk about having to take over or having to kind of run the house or know what to do.
Yes.
To do.
And yes. Actually, we had servants to do the work, because my mom had a breast removed when she was just 27. So she couldn't do much. So we had servants, but my dad had a business. So I was the one who kind of took a lot of responsibility on me.
That's fantastic. Is it out of, and if you know, you can say you're not comfortable, and I'm okay with that. What type of business was your father in?
He was a welder. At 18, he started his own business, welding business. And he made quite a lot of money. And he did so many good things. When he passed, you know, so many people came and they were speaking of what he has done for them. We never knew those things. So, so good.
And how did that make you feel?
Oh, it was so, we knew he was a good man, but this one old man, he came in a little vehicle, taxi kind of vehicle, and he was given my brother or my mom, somebody gave him some money that dad used to give, and he just stood around, and then my mom said, my brother said, he's not leaving, why? And then my mom said, because your dad always paid for the taxi too. The taxi in which he came. So
yeah.
He knew a lot of things. People were saying so many good things about him. When after he passed, we heard about it.
I understand that. And believe it or not,
and he's probably heard about your mom too.
Exactly. Like there were people that showed up. And you know what? I'm learning, like, I think that it was not, and I think you would agree, it was not because your father was wealthy. It was because of the man that he was.
The good deeds, that's the only thing that count.
And I only thought of that because my mom though she was the eldest, she was the poorest of all of her siblings in money.
Mm-hmm.
She was the richest in spirit by far. And these people, like, they didn't even, some of the people did not know her name. They called her what whoever introduced them to her. Like, my cousins, because my mother was the oldest, they called my mom Big Annie, like auntie. So they would say Big Annie. That's what they called her. And so these other people showed up, and they didn't even know. They called her Big Annie. They didn't know what her name was. And one man stood and said that she told him he was homeless. And she told him, you can't stay in my house, but if you come here every day, I'll make sure that you have food.
Oh.
And she met him. And, you know, it's just things like that, that, you know, as I sat there, like, there's so many things that I don't even remember about the day because it was so overwhelming for me.
Mm.
It was very overwhelming for me. Even if I really stop and think about it, it'll make me cry all over again. But I was listening and I was thinking, and I'll bet you feel this way too. These people adored my mother.
Mm.
I have her blood.
Yeah. And they adore you too.
Well, if they got probably. To me, but I saw the responsibility in that.
Mm.
Like, how do I damage that? How do I not live up to that?
Up to that. Mm-hmm.
You know, that was important to me.
Yes.
I'll bet you had an awesome upbringing. It sounds like your family.
Yes, we did. All of us did. My brother, who is next to me, I think he was maybe 47. He just decided he had made enough money. He retired and he's volunteering from that day. And now he's only 2 years younger than me. So he's 67. It's over 25 years. He's been volunteering at a church.
Oh,
and,
wow.
You know, the people, the young people who are on drugs and stuff, he bring them to church and try to help them, turn them around and those kind of things. He does. I'm so proud of him.
That's beautiful. I'm proud of him too. And I haven't even met him yet. He's my brother, and I already know that. Can I ask another Clark question?
Sure.
We live in a really crazy time, I think you would agree, right now in our country.
Yes.
And lots of things have been said that, from where I've been raised, as you mentioned, does not represent Jesus at all.
Mm-hmm.
And you, what does that make you feel when you see some of that played out on television or in the radio or however you hear of some of the things? Like, it's been very challenging for me, I must say, to hear of some of the things that I would consider atrocities towards people of my ethnicity. And part could, if it just depending on the situation. I believe it could be people of your ethnicity as well. Just depends. What do you think?
When George Floyd, that happened, I could not sleep for probably a month or so. Seeing that over and over, I could close my eyes and see that. It hurt me so much. And we had a protest in Garden City, Kansas. And my dear friend Amy called her and said, Amy, I'm going to go for this protest. I'm not asking you to come, but I'm going. She said, Jesse, I wanted to come, but I am afraid to go by myself because she is dark skinned. I said, well, let's go together. And we had a plaque. Each of us put what we wanted and we walked. And we did not invite our white counterparts because I didn't feel comfortable. Maybe they would come, but we call ourselves soul sisters. There are six of us, but we didn't call them. I just felt, and they wouldn't know how it feels. That's what I felt. And
I felt some of the same. Even in a deeper way, because I know that had that not been recorded, the story would have never been told.
Yes.
It would have been more of the same. And nobody would have cared.
Yeah.
And it would have been rewritten or reasoned away as if it wasn't the truth.
Nothing. Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the thing that bothered me. My mom was a very smart woman in her own right, even though she wasn't allowed to finish school because she had to work and take care of her family.
Mm.
But she didn't, she grew up in a time where it wasn't, I don't know if it wasn't safe or if it wasn't wise to rock the boat. But my mother's skin looked like mine. I don't know if you can see that picture over there. It's way back
there. That's a child. Maybe on the other side?
Over here? That's my mother's baby sister.
Oh, okay.
The deal is she's very, very fair. Like, she's more like this. They called my mom. My mom was the only one that was my skin.
Mm-mm.
And they called her Blackie, even in her family, right?
Oh.
Which was weird for me because I was like, you're not that dark. But I said all of that to say, when I was in eighth grade, we were talking in class, the lesson that was on the various races. They were calling them Caucasioids, Negroids, Angloids. They had all these different oids. That's all I remember. Mm-hmm. And the coach or the teacher was this big over six feet tall guy, big white guy. And he asked, you know, as we went through the characteristics associated with each of those oids, he then asked, do any of you have any of you ever seen anything that's different than what we said about what the characteristics were for each of these?
Mm-hmm.
And I raised my hand and I said, my grandmother had blue eyes, which she did. My grandmother's eyes were, I don't know if you can see this or not, but my grandmother's eyes look like this thing. Can you see that?
That blue?
That blue. But remember, she was very fair. My grandmother was very fair as well.
I see.
But she was just my big mama. I didn't. So he said, Walker, one more crack like that, you'll find yourself out of my classroom. Okay, I'm in the eighth grade. I'm really trying to, never wanting to disappoint my mother. Definitely cannot be expelled from a class. So I didn't understand. I thought, what did I say that was so horrible? And I said,
so she thought you were lying.
It was a guy. He did.
He thought
I don't know, I don't know, really know what he thought. And I said, but coach, my grandmother's eyes are blue. And he put me out of the class. I was scared that my mother was going to beat my brains out for getting expelled from class. And I went immediately to tell her, I don't understand what happened. This is what I said. This is what I told him.
Mm.
And she said, well, honey, your teacher's ignorance makes your grandmother's eyes no less blue. That's all she said.
Yeah,
and that was kind of the end of it. But there was a part of me, Tessie, if I'm honest, I wanted somebody to go check that guy and tell him, my grandmother's eyes are blue.
Yeah.
And I never got that. So when I'm in this day and age and I'm seeing the things that are happening in this day and age, and that was so long ago.
Yes.
And you're right, there are a lot of Anglo people who have no idea what that feels like. They still had the N-word in my books when I was in school, Tessie. And I would often be the only one like me in the class, and we had to read those things aloud.
So sorry, that would be so hard as a child.
It was. But I tell you what, it also allowed me to pay attention to how everything was. Because even to this very day, I heard you talk about, you call yourself the soul sisters.
Uh-huh.
I have a girlfriend from high school. They had a, it was when I was in high school when the movie Roots came out.
Oh.
You know if you remember that movie.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah.
Really, I have read the deal.
I have not seen the movie, but book I have read.
Okay. So there was a huge fight at my school. And it was not always fun. I wasn't a part of it. I was away from it. But this young lady, her name is Tracy. I love her to this day. And we had t-shirts. She had a black shirt with white writing. It said, "From my darker sister." And I had a white shirt with black writing that said, "From my lighter sister." We would wear them to school. And sometimes people understood, sometimes they didn't, but we didn't care because we had tapped into the importance of love, which
yes.
is or white or whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that was cool for me.
Yes.
I just wondered what you thought about that, because I think that until we start to talk about it, we can't do anything about it. And I'm honored and grateful for your spirit that you had the audacity and the courage to walk in that protest. Thank you for that.
Yes, but I don't know if I should talk to my white counterparts, soul sisters. I am still afraid because I don't want to cause any distance between our friendships because of the politics.
Okay, exactly.
I'm a Democrat and they are Republicans and, you know.
So I understand that.
Mm-hmm.
What I will say to you is to continue to pray. And if God wants you to have that conversation, I believe your spirit will tell you not only to do it, but when, and he will prepare you with how. I think there's a scripture that says, those he calls, he equips.
Yes, he does equip, yes. But there is no good results can come out of it. That's my thought. Because I'm not going to change anybody. They're not going to change me either. So maybe...
Well, let me ask this. We're supposed to ask each other, in our own words, our personal political values, and I think we're already kind of talking about that a little bit. Since I've moved to Charlotte, let me ask you.
Okay, sure.
Say more about your, in your own words, your personal political values. I'd love to hear.
Okay, I am a Democrat, but I personally am against abortion. Because I believe it is a baby. I cannot do that. I will never, ever do such a thing. But I feel like, who am I to tell other people, you cannot do that? That is where I'm kind of allowing them to make their decision. It's between them and God. I'm not judging them. That's where I am against. And then the continuous things happening to voter fraud, or not fraud, but not allowing people to vote, you know, restrictions that they are bringing out. It makes me so angry. That is so wrong. And I cannot be for that.
I understand. I too am a voting Democrat, but I agree that voting rights, if you try to eliminate voting rights, that's not okay. Everyone mm-hmm. who is an American citizen is deemed that right merely because you are a citizen, unless you've done something atrocious that allowed that privilege to be removed.
Mm-hmm.
I too would not personally want to kill a baby,
mm-hmm.
but I like you. It's not my decision. It's not for me to say what you can
yeah.
do. My challenge there is there are lots of people who will say, I'm against abortion no matter what, but then they don't want to support social services to pay for these children that
yeah.
are born under weird circumstances or whatever. that the mother is not, so you're raped, and you have to, and if the child is born and looks just exactly like your rapist, you have to look in this person's face for the rest. And how do you care for this baby like a real mother? Then you're going to damage the baby. Now it's a cycle, and you don't want to pay for the social services or the social support that would allow the counseling that person may need, or the support you may need to learn how to take care of this child, or you don't want to pay for that. So you just want, you're going to have the baby, but if you don't take care of it, you're going to go to jail, or it's not my problem if your baby has issues. You know, that's not okay to me.
I don't think they truly care. It doesn't, to me, it doesn't seem like they care. If they care, they would care about a living human being first. You cannot worship, you cannot love somebody whom you don't see when you cannot love somebody you see already.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. I agree with you on that. It's a difficult place, and I'm very heartbroken that it is my opinion, and that the previous president brought out the worst of our country.
Oh, I totally, that's how I see it too. I was praying so hard, and I was trying to get, you know, we have a lot of Hispanic population around here, and they are good people, productive citizens, except they don't speak much English. They don't know how to get to register to vote. So I helped a whole bunch of them to register to vote, and told them this is what they all didn't like Trump either. So I think.
But, you know, this is the other side of that. If he hadn't done all that he did, it would have simply been simmering under the surface, because it was always there.
It was there.
He just allowed them to be more open with it.
That is true.
And I don't know that the simmer would have been worse, because the simmer means that it's hiding, but now it's exposed. And what I believe in Jesus is that he is the light of the world. Mm-hmm. And so things have been, because again, my favorite scripture is, and we know all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. That means things that we like, things we don't like, things we understand, things we don't understand. And what I say about that is, if Christ is the light of the world, it is imperative that these things are exposed, because now that they are exposed, they allow us to do something about it. But I have to stay on my knees and continue to pray that God is safe, and I know he will always be in control, but I don't know how to impact that. And I think these conversations are certainly a good start.
Yes.
So I don't know that any one person has the answer. I don't know. I don't talk to my white counterparts about certain things.
Politics.
But I listen.
Mm-hmm.
Because inevitably at some point they will speak about how they feel.
Yes. In fact, they have spoken to me. Not during the election time, a few years prior to that. And I told, they said illegal migration, that was the topic. And I said, I don't think it is the right thing to do, but if we are in their position, in their situation, we would do the same thing.
Yeah.
So, and India is such a poor country. Bangladesh was even poorer than us. So there were so many that came over to India and we took them. So it happens everywhere in the world.
It does.
And here, particularly, everybody came from other places other than Native Americans. So they are the only ones who have the right to say anything, but they are cornered. And so I think we should take refugees.
So I'll tell you what else, Tessie, I've noticed in living in South Carolina. So much all of a sudden, and it could be all of a sudden to me because I'm the new person in this area, right? What I've learned in being here is that there's so much history here.
History?
Like real bona fide history. Like there's so much stuff that I've learned about perspectives of, for instance, the Civil War, or perspectives of slavery and how it got here. Perspectives of the people who participated in it for the business, because everyone who owned slaves were not necessarily horrible people. Some of them really treated their slaves very well. I wish that there had never been slavery.
I know.
But it
happened.
And if it hadn't happened, I don't know what I would be. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I think the thing is not to... I don't know that I could, we can't change the past.
Yes.
But to be informed enough and compassionate enough and respectful enough,
we can change the future. Mm-hmm. Yes. And we have to do what we can to make a better future for the next generations to come.
It's a question to ask ourselves. I was looking at one of the award shows recently, and it really made me think, you know, what are we leaving to what would be my grandchildren or your grandchildren or their children even? Mm-hmm. What do they have? We have global warming. We got the planet is going to poop.
Everybody with a little intelligence can see that. And just thinking or saying it's a hoax is not going to remove it or go make it go away.
Right. And so it's almost like if we don't talk about it, it's not there.
Mm-mm.
So I get to focus on the things that I want to focus on because that's what I want to raise money to support. And I think that oftentimes our elected officials forget it is not your opinion that you're to represent.
Yes.
Those of the people who elected you.
Yes. That you are their conscience, and you cannot forget that once you get to the job. Yeah.
I don't get to, but my concern is, and I don't know, have you paid attention to the number of times people say now, I apologize that this happened. I never meant for this to happen. And then they go on about their business. I'm like, no, you don't. That is so ingenuine. You knew when you did this that it was going to have a negative outcome. What you're sorry for is that you got caught.
Mm.
You know? If you hadn't gotten caught, you would have continued to do the things that you did, possibly. Does that
make sense? For example, clarify it.
For example, is that what you said?
Yeah.
Even the different politicians, whether it was they accepted, or whether it was the disrespect to their families, whether to their wife or their families, and I don't really care what you do personally, to be perfectly honest, I don't care. But when your personal stuff bleeds into what you're supposed to be doing that represents me, that's a problem.
Yep. That is.
Because no person on the planet is perfect.
No.
Perfect.
No.
But handle your responsibilities that you were elected for.
Exactly. And, you know, they are opposing to do the good for common, whatever common good you have to do, and they're opposing. I'm thinking, well, how can we make these people just lose their job? You know, we should maybe strike and have a poster or something. Mansion and cinema can go out. So people can have a better life. My God, they have suffered enough these 2 years, almost 2 years.
I think the other thing too is people often don't really understand the impact until it hits them. Like even with COVID. Like as long as your family is dying, as long as it's somebody, you know, it's sad, sucks to be you. But you don't need to wear a mask. But as soon as it's my family,
I cannot.
Now all of a sudden, you should have been wearing a mask because now it's affected somebody that I love. And unfortunately, it takes that happening to some people for them to change how they see things.
What is the big deal wearing a mask? What is the big deal taking a shot vaccine? Yeah.
So, I honestly, I promise you, I have to be honest. I did have some concerns, some reservations before about the vaccine because of the history associated with African Americans and that.
Yes, I understand that totally. I had a friend, Melina, a couple of them, they were hesitant, but she took it. Now her sister took it. We are still praying for the mom to take it because they had bad experiences in the past.
I get it, but my sister did it first before I did. And I told her, I said, well, I'm going to do it. We'll be in it together, whatever that means for you. And it's going to mean it for me. And that's how we, you know, that's how we did it. And even going forward, you know.
So did you do both of them?
Yes.
Wonderful.
And looking forward to the booster, if that's
what I do.
Because I want to be here for a while. I don't have children, but I have a fabulous family of great nieces, great nephews, and a new great on the way. So, you know, I want to be here as long as the Lord says.
Yes. Lynn's picture came up. Lynn, are we taking too much of your time?
No. It is a lovely, wonderful conversation. You truly are sisters, I think.
I feel that.
I'm sure.
I'm kind of curious. You guys came together on so many things, but you were paired also because of the similarities. And I knew that you traveled to India, and I knew that, you know, Tessie's family and your spiritual connections. However, when you rated yourself, even though you guys are both Democrat, you rated yourself on the scale. And there, so from 5 to 10 is leaning conservative, and from 4 to 1 is leaning liberal. And so I paired you together knowing that there's more similarities than anything, and I could not be happier of the connection that you made. But I'm curious, are there anything that you might see differently?
Well, honestly, that's why I asked some of the questions that I asked, just to hear Tessie's perspective, because, you know, I'm open to hear those differences, but the way she responded is very much the way I responded. And I know that we had talked about that aside from this session as well, because I do consider myself conservative to a point. You know, I have friends who consider me, I don't know if they recall the L7, back where you came from in your youth, Tessie, but that meant you were square, you stayed in a box, you never got outside, you didn't do very much. And if you listen to me talk about my upbringing, I wasn't allowed to. I was in church all the time.
Neither was I.
That molded how I see the world, right? Mm-hmm. But as I grew up, I also recognized that, Tessie knows this, I know you know this, when I stand before God, my Father in heaven, when he calls my name, and it's time for me to leave this planet, guess what? He's not calling you for your opinion. He's not calling Lynn for her opinion. And guess what? When he calls you and it's your turn to answer, he's not calling me for my opinion. He's not calling anybody that loves you for their opinion. So that's why when you said, and when you started to talk about even abortion, I was like, oh my goodness, she's going to be pro-life and I wonder what this is going to look like. But you said the same thing that I would say. I don't think it's for me, but I don't think it's my responsibility to choose.
Yes. Yeah.
Not that I say that I believe in abortion, because it's not that I want people running around just killing babies all willy-nilly.
No.
But I think that there's some responsibility. I don't think that it's a one-word, one-trick pony. I think that there should be some consideration for it, and that the individual has the opportunity to be informed and know and think and have options. You know, a lot of times they may not know that you can have the baby and there are loving parents that would want to adopt that baby. You know, they may not even know those things.
Mm-hmm.
So though I wouldn't do it,
no,
though I wouldn't encourage it, though I wouldn't run down to the nearest whatever and
no,
this is what you should do because that's what it is.
Mm-mm.
I can't decide for another woman what happens with her body.
No.
How do I get to tell you what to do with your body and then get in my car and go home and you're sitting outside cold?
Yeah, and also I think these men, they should just shut their mouth. This is none of their business.
What she said.
Yeah.
That's it. How many people that made that decision were women? I think that's a very good point, Tessie.
Yeah.
But luckily, in my opinion, we have more women at the table and we have more women whose voices are being heard. And therefore, you know, because we used to argue about going to the various events, whether it's a concert or a football or basketball or some type of sports event. And there was always this long line to the women's restroom. And it was, we said there was a man that designed this doggone place. And that's why they don't have enough stalls for women.
Exactly. Yes, exactly.
But if you get women involved.
Yes.
Or, you know, they even say Mother Earth. Women think of both.
Yes. We think of everything, even our children. You know, we have boys and girls, and we think of both of them.
That's right.
You know, I have a dear friend who works at a meat plant here in Garden City. She is a Hispanic lady, this very short person. Maria, she worked there for 25 plus years. And then she was telling me, I am so tired and my back hurts because somebody, the manager, new person came and he made the table where they cut the meat high. And she cannot reach it and she's struggling. Nobody cares. They have to take into consideration. I thought if there is a woman as the head, she would either provide a stool or something for this lady. So I told her, Maria, why don't you take one? Ask Pedro to make a little stool, stand up on that. And then she was going to do that.
Look at you solving problems over there, Miss Tessie. Look at you solving problems over there. That's what I see. You don't even see that you just, do you see that you just solved some problems, lady?
Really?
You're solving problems. You should run for office. That's what
Oh no, I won't be good at that, but I love to help people. You know, Teresa, my little soul work is I want people who are renting from me, once they rent from me, I kind of get them to save money to buy property. So I tell them, you bring your credit score up, and then you work towards buying it. Right now, you're making my payment. So my 21st person bought a house in January. I'm working on the next one. That's my little mission.
Well, you know what? You know what, Tessie?
Yes.
You are an angel.
Teresa.
My mom never owned property.
Oh,
she never did. She never made enough money. Girl, we should exchange numbers if that's allowed after this.
I would love to.
Make you really, really continue to love the Lord because my mom.
She worked so hard.
And she, even if she worked as hard as she did, she didn't make enough money that would allow her to save anything. You know, it was check to check.
Because they work the lowest paying job and there is no way they can get up to the that's so sad.
But watch this, I'm gonna tell you this.
Mm.
The Lord has blessed me. I don't know if it was my grandmother's prayers or my mother's prayers or my aunt's prayers or a combination of all of those things, but I know that my mom prayed for me. Mm-hmm. And I have owned one home. Mm. I sold it when I left Texas to move closer to my sister. And I used to always worry because I didn't marry, so I didn't have a husband to help. I've had to do everything myself, much like my mom.
Mm-hmm.
I've had some really tough times, but I promise you that God has put people in my life that helped me over and over again. And when I talk about the diversity of my friendships, people laugh at me. I have white people in my family. I have Hispanic people in my family. I have Asian people in my family.
Mm.
One of my dearest friends in Dallas, when I was putting my house for sale, her kids loved me first. I think because they lived across. I saw her when she was pregnant. I used to wave to her. Then when she had the babies, they started to toddle. And for whatever reason, her daughter, which was the second born, loved me. She would run. We'd like watch when she would take her out of the car and stand her up. She would run, and we have to make sure there were no cars coming. But she would run across the street to get to me. I didn't see this baby before. She built a friendship. When I got ready to sell my house, she had already sold her house and they moved. And she called me and she said, "You know, if you sell your house before you're ready to leave with your job, you know you can stay with me and the kids, right?" I was like, "No, I didn't know that." She was like, "Of course." I moved in that house. They're Chinese. I moved in that house with them. And I'm only telling, I tell long stories and I'm really sorry. When I got ready to go, this was the first time in my life I had enough money to buy a car without begging for forgiveness. Like, my credit was horrible all the time of my life. First time that I was finally.
You can bring it up. I'll tell you how.
Girl, listen, that's what I'm trying to tell you. When I got ready to go buy this car, because my car was crappy, it stopped in the middle of the highway. It was nuts. But anyway, I was going to go buy this car because I wanted to have a good working car when I go to North Carolina to be with my sister. And I find a good job. So I asked her, because she will wheel and deal. Her name is Saeed. Saeely, but we call her Mary. I said, "Mary, you know how to talk to these people. Can you go with me to get my car?" She was like, "Girl, yeah, I'll do that, no big deal." And so I got ready to go, but she wasn't available that day. So I went on my own, because I already said the door, whatever.
Okay.
So I got this car and, you know, whatever. And I came home and I was so excited. And she drilled me like she was my mother. She was like, "So what did you get? How much did you put down? What's the interest rate? How much are your payments going to be? What was the cost of the car?" She was like, "I'm just
and?
I told her. She was like, "I can't say the words that she said because she cursed me." And she said, "Why didn't you just put more money down? You have it. It's not like," and she just went through all of these things of telling me about how to negotiate and how to
think
the use of money.
Yes.
Tessie, my mom didn't have that to give to me. She didn't know how to teach me that.
I think I learned it from my dad.
I never knew how to do, I never knew how to think that way. And so I started to cry. Because I thought, "Oh my God, I'm so stupid. I didn't know." And Mary never missed a beat. She just kept saying, she was like, "Well, you need to call us back and tell them you're not going to pay that for that car." "It's too late. I already bought it." And she said those words. She said, I'm going to say initials. She said, "BS. You get them on the phone and tell them you're coming back down there tomorrow with your sister. You're going to take that car back and we're going to renegotiate this deal." I called them. They were like, "Oh, no problem, Miss Walker. It'll be fine. You come in." And I promise you, when we walked in there and sat down with that finance manager, I was sitting back like this.
She did the talking.
She did all the talking. She was like, "Well, what if she put this much down? What would the interest rate be if she did this? What if she did it for this many months? What if she did it for this many months? What if she did it?" She, listen, that guy was like, you smell. And when we finished, I cannot tell you anymore. I used to know off the top because I was so blown away. The amount of money that she saved me, the things that she changed that deal to be for me.
Yes.
When we walked out of there, I know that little man's head was on fire. When we stepped out of the doorway, she looked back at me. She said, let me tell you something, honey. I'm Chinese, and we don't spend money. We make money. I said, I want to learn. And she sat with me several days and just said, Teresa, this is what you need to do. You need to do this, and you need to do this. And I'll share this with you, and I would not normally say this aloud, but I'm going to share this with you. My credit score, when I left in that moment, my credit score, I'm ashamed. So my credit score was 523.
Oh, what is it now?
I followed all the stuff.
What is it now?
725.
Yes.
You are speaking.
Now, you can make it 800.
Language.
I'm working on it.
Okay, clearly, this is a match.
This is Lynn. I'm so grateful to you.
Hold on for just one second, because we are going to exchange all of that stuff, because I think you guys are truly soul sisters.
Okay.
I'm going to hold on for just a second. I'm going to stop the recording because this has been a lovely conversation. Anything that you want to say to each other on the recording?
Oh, the time? Oh, I didn't know. I need your phone number, my dear. Let me write down mine for you.
Likewise.
The recording that you would like to say each other to each
let
other
me say this to you before yes because we don't okay. Listen, we don't want everybody in America calling us, Tess. We only want to call each other.
Oh, that's right. Lynn, may I have Teresa's number?
We're gonna do that, but I want to say this to you on the recording.
Okay.
I am honored to have met you. I am honored to have heard about your grandfather and your father, and I can't wait to hear more. But I am most honored that you seek to help others and you seek to empower those who are less fortunate. And I want you to know that in this moment, your Heavenly Father is very proud of the soul that he gave to you, for you are doing what he asked you to do.
Thank you so much, Teresa. I feel so blessed to meet you today. This opportunity is a God-given opportunity, and I want to keep in touch with you, and I will treasure this friendship. And when we travel to Florida, I hope I can even meet you in person.
That's awesome. And now, you know, I'm in North Carolina, but we may have to make some trips. We might have to talk about that. I may have to come to Florida and meet you down there.
That's right. Because she's thinking she's getting closer to you, Teresa.
Absolutely.
Eventually, we're going to get closer. That was lovely.